Now it's time for Homegrown on 94.7 WPBC LP Charlottesville with your hosts, Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones, Charlottesville's only radio show devoted to local arts. And now...
Good morning, Sunday morning. Whether you're an art maker, an art breaker, an art faker, or an art partaker, welcome all because, of course, all are welcome to Homegrown, a show about local art. I'm the one that they call Clinton, and I'm here with the lady of great fame who is never tame, Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Good morning, Clinton.
M. Scott Jones.
How are you?
M. Scott Jones. Yeah. M. Scott Jones, make things go right. Do-do-do-do. M. Scott Jones, get you out of sight. Do-do-do-do-do.
Wow, you're in a really good mood this morning. Did you was there a pill involved or with just extra sleep?
Why is it always chemical additives that you go to?
Well, it's the easiest. everybody else is doing it, Clinton. Why aren't you doing it? Everyone else is doing it, Clinton. All the cool kids are doing it, Clinton.
If there's something that all the cool kids are doing, I think that's the reason why I'm clearly not doing it. Talk about a group that I was never a part of.
Oh, okay. All right. So basically, you just got a lot of sleep? No.
No.
No. Did you?
Did I get a lot of sleep?
Did you? No. Did you get laid last night? Is that why you're in such a good mood?
I did not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I did not.
I did.
Did you? I did watch Hitchcock about the making of Psycho, and looking deeply at Alfred Hitchcock is kind of like getting laid, because the guy was so much about repressed sexuality. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. So creepy.
Okay, so we've gotten a little glimpse into your life and your psyche now. Let's just move right along. Who's our first guest today, Clinton?
We're not going to do our parental advisory.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, because you care so much about the children. Yes.
I do.
I know.
Actually, I could care crap about the children. I care about the parents.
Right.
Someone's got to care about the parents.
Right.
It's easy to care about the kids.
Okay. Well,
you got to care about the parents.
All right.
They're the ones saddled with the monsters.
Oh, my.
Which is why I give out our parental advisory.
Okay, well, go ahead.
At one point in the show, we will try not to, but we may say the word rubric.
Wow, I love the way you said that.
There you go. And it may come out, even if we're not talking about Stanley Kubrick, which is close.
It is,
but
very
not
close.
The same thing.
Right. Okay.
Not the same thing. Hitchcock, Kubrick, already two directors in this show. So that's the drinking game for this show. Every time we say a film director, it's mimosa time. We're going to go Spielberg on you. Hey, there's another one.
Oh, no.
Let's go to our first guest. Joining us again, returning to the studio from our favorite opera company. Take that, Ashland Highland. No, seriously. You can come.
Shots fired.
They never return my email. What do you want from me? They never return my email. Victory Hall Opera Company, Miriam Gordon Stewart. How are you doing, my dear?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am so pleased to have you back on our show.
Thank you.
And you have brought with you a guest.
I have. Do I introduce her or do you wanna?
I think you should.
Okay, I brought with us today the fabulously talented and extremely beautiful Janina Burnett, who is singing the role of Sophie in our production of Someone Younger, Der Rosenkavalier. Say hi, Janina.
Hi, Janina.
No. Hi. She's going to fit in absolutely wonderfully here. That's awesome. Okay, so say the name of that opera again.
Der Rosenkavalier.
Oh, my.
So how is it that Der Rosenkavalier translates to someone younger as opposed to something like The Rose Knight, which it sounds like it should translate to, right?
Would you go and see a show called The Rose Knight?
I will see many kinds of shows.
Maybe you would. Well, you know, at Victory Hall Opera, we like to rethink everything. So in this case, we sort of... When we were thinking about how to present this show, which has this German title that's almost unpronounceable to an audience, and preferably to sort of introduce a new opera audience to it, we thought, you know what, we can call it whatever we want. So instead of calling it Der Rosenkavalier alone or calling it the Rose Bearer or whatever, we thought, let's think about what the show's really about. And the show is about times, phases of life, and it's about having relationships with people of different phases of life. And how sometimes you're the young innocent and sometimes you're the more mature party, the old soul, the young soul. And so, yeah, that's how we, and it's also a line from the show, someone younger.
Yeah, I've never been the innocent. I don't even know what that would look like.
But you know what it's like to play around with someone younger.
I do. They have so much energy. It's you know, it's the stamina. That's what it is. It's, you know, that's
yeah.
But you know, but older is good too. Older is good too. You know.
Like, yeah, you better backtrack real fast.
Right.
I know who's waiting for you.
Yes, I did leave someone older in my bed. But yeah, you know, older is good too. You know, more, they know what they're doing. Let's put it that way. They know what they're doing.
So.
Clinton is very uncomfortable right now and wishes for us to move on.
I'm just looking at the clock. That's all. You guys can talk about your conquests all you want. I'm down.
Okay. Well, so you're also in it, right? What part do you play?
Well, in this case, I play the role of the older woman. My real-life wife is playing the role of the younger man. So that'll be interesting for people to see. It starts off with a pretty hot sort of a sex scene that's pretty famous, actually, in opera, usually played by a couple of straight women, one of them dressed as a man, trying to look like lovers,
right.
In my experience, mixed success.
Right.
As far as we know, this is the first time that an out married couple of lesbians has played the scene. So I think that we might bring something new
extra.
To it.
Yeah, a little extra.
At least a little kind of physical comfort level with each other or something like that.
Out lesbians, people of color, what are you people doing to opera?
We're mixing it up, baby.
Good gracious. So let's dive into the juicy stuff. Actually, first, Janina, what's it like? So, let's just dive into it. You are African American.
I sure am.
You're doing opera.
Yeah.
Go ahead and smash my preconceived notions, my stereotypes. What?
Yeah, there are a lot. There's a long lineage of African American opera singers that I am a part of, and I am very thrilled to be. It began with Ciceretta Jones, and now we few people know her. However, she was one of the first, if not the first one, who was the concert artist here in this country. And now there are so many African American opera singers here, you know, all here in the States and all over the world doing this professionally and on a very high level.
Whoa.
Yeah, we don't see a lot of them, but we are really out there. It's so true.
Oh, my.
So my great aunt Mary, in the 30s during the Depression, she and her 11 sisters moved to Philly to get jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the jobs that she got was she was an opera singer.
Wonderful.
And she sang opera in Philly for like 6 or 7 years. And when she got married, she married this lovely little Portuguese man. And he loved to hear her sing. Mm. He worked nights. So he bought her a baby grand piano and put it at the bottom of the stairs. So every night when it was time for him to wake up to go to work, she would sit down at the piano and sing opera to him to wake him up.
Oh, so sweet. My family is from Philly, so we'll have to talk. I may know them.
See, everywhere I go, I find a cousin. Everywhere.
Yeah.
So also diving into the juicy parts, we got to talk about it. You found a Charlottesville connection with this opera?
Yeah, we did. And it was purely by coincidence that we came across it. But a year ago, when we were sort of meeting some people in town and talking about the new company that we were starting here, we met at an art gallery opening and a German lady. And we told her, well, of course, you know, you have to come because we're doing Rosenkavalier, which is a very important popular work to the German people. And she said, oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. You know that there's this connection. There were letters between Hofmannsthal and there's Yule Farm. And you look and you will find it. And we were a little puzzled and we thought, okay. Now, Hofmannsthal is the guy who wrote the play, basically. He wrote the text to Rosenkavalier. So he's in the opera world a very famous guy, and in Austria a very famous poet and playwright. And so we started tracking down this lead, and we found that that Hofmannsthal had a long letter-writing exchange with a countess, who was a German countess, and that countess had a daughter. And after the countess's death, the daughter discovered some secret letters that no one had known about. Secret letters in her mother's attic or something, wrapped in a blue ribbon and marked only to be read by my daughter upon my death.
Oh my goodness.
That's an opera right there.
Yeah, that's true.
You should have named it Secret Letters.
So this girl who was also a countess, by this stage an older lady, a middle-aged lady, found these secret letters that her mother had exchanged with this poet, Hofmannsthal, and it showed that during the time that he was writing Rosenkavalier, the two of them had had what could be described as an affair, right?
No.
So it was, yes. The letters are really beautiful, really, really kind of passionate and talk a lot about the ways in which they were secretly kind of meeting and sharing secret thoughts about each other and all this kind of thing. And they developed this like little character that she played that was this country girl, and they'd write in this voice. Anyway, to cut a long story short, we realized that these letters that she discovered were basically in the text of Rosenkavalier. So
text?
Well, references to them, yeah. So references to stuff that they shared together is in the text of Rosenkavalier. Mm. Now, the daughter who discovered these letters had since moved to America with her diplomat American husband a horse farm outside of Charlottesville. And she had abandoned her countess name, which was Marie-Thérèse blah, 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 von Degenfeld, 18 names or something. And she was just going about town by the name of Mary Miller. Now, few people in Charlottesville knew that she was a countess or had been a countess. And she was just running a horse farm and, like, you know, selling watermelon out the back of her truck down on the downtown mall and stuff like that.
So, oh, my God.
So this secret countess was living in Charlottesville who
And when was
who
this?
Had
what time period are we
letters.
Talking about?
Well, she died in 2005, I believe.
Oh, my God.
Now,
holy
a lot
crap.
Of people, a lot of people in town knew Mary Miller. I mean, there will be people listening to this show that knew Mary Miller. What they maybe didn't know was that her real name was Marie-Thérèse, which is the title character's name from Der Rosenkavalier. So,
oh my God!
You know, I'll leave it to you to join the dots on that one. So, yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah. That is. There you go. There you go. The world revolves around Charlottesville.
How about that?
Well, I think that's probably going too far, but that's so cool.
That's very cool.
And you guys just stumbled on that.
We
right?
just stumbled on it. It was coincidence. And everyone's sort of asking us, "Oh, did you know about this connection? Is this why you're doing Rosenkavalier?" It's really not. It just came up. And so, you know, it's one of those magical things that you discover, and you're like, "Oh, okay, we are supposed to be doing this crazy opera in this town."
Not to mention the huge, amazing coincidence that the Strauss comic opera that has some connection to Charlottesville also has "Cavalier" in the title.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
Wow, that's don't you just love it when art does that for you? When it makes a connection that you never saw coming, and all of a sudden your mind is just blown. And it's like, yes, this is exactly what I should be doing. The universe has now given me a sign. Like, yes, this I need to do this.
Exactly. Yeah. It really, there have been so many signs. And then other little coincidences, of course, kept happening all year that were related to Yule Farm or us coming into contact with Yule Farm or with various parts of this story. So it's very, very cool. And this opera is such an important part of the opera repertoire. It's sort of in most opera fans' top 10 operas, and this character that I
play. Really? Because I was going to ask that. I was going to ask where, basically exactly that, where it was in terms of the world of opera, because I'll admit I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, to people who know about opera, it's up there. It's really up there in their top 10. It's a masterpiece. Mm-hmm. And this character that I play, the Marschallin, otherwise known as Marie-Thérèse, is one of these iconic characters like Madame Butterfly or Carmen or Tosca. Wow. And to discover that she was based on a real person is pretty incredible. It's incredible historical information within the opera world. It's also a great local story, but it's really relevant. It's something that should be, now that we've kind of pieced it together, should be being taught at school.
So for those people out there who may not like opera,
what
I know, no. I don't understand them at all, but I think a lot of people don't go to opera because there is a connotation that there's going to be an unhappy ending, that there's going to be some huge letdown. You know, somebody's always got to die.
I can't imagine why anyone would have that
but
understanding about opera.
So is this a happy ending? Do two lovers, get together? Or like, is it a happy conclusion?
Yes, it is. I think at the end, what we discover is that true love does exist and is possible. And I think that it leaves the audience with a sweet taste in its mouth. You know?
True love exists, and awesome. You don't have to die of consumption to
right?
to experience it.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's awesome. Thank you guys so much for coming in to talk about it. Give us again the when and where and ticket information and all that stuff.
Okay, so this is going to be August 14th, 17th, and 20th. It's entitled Someone Younger at the V. Earl Dickinson Theater at Piedmont Virginia Community College, Charlottesville, Virginia. VictoryHallOpera.org is the website you can go to get the tickets and more information.
Only three nights. Mm-hmm. Only three nights for it to be out of sight. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Woo! Victory Hall Opera. Yeah. Love it, love it, love it. Almost as much as I love a good Oliver Stone movie. It's just, I just threw that in so you could have a sip.
Yes, you just want people to get a little toasted today,
don't
you?
Just to top yourself up. All right, let's talk about some of the wonderful things we've got going on in our wonderful artistic town. Currently running until the end of summer, Art and Country at the Klugiru Aboriginal Art Collection, a diverse collection on the selection of works on canvas, paper, and even eucalyptus bark drawn from the Klugiru collection, looking at how these Aboriginal artists figure their relationships with their homelands. Currently running also until August 6th, The Odd Couple at UVA's Culber Theater, part of their Heritage Summer Theater Festival. Also currently running until August 28th, American Shakespeare Center summer season. It's still going on. You got till the end of the month to see Twelfth Night and King Lear by Shakespeare. Which one of you loves me the most? And the modern musical Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. Also currently running until August 7th, Once in This Island at Four County Players. Hey, hey! And currently running also to August 7th, A Midsummer Night's Dream at Guerrilla Theater. So much theater going on right now. You got to get out and see it before it's gone. Today, speaking of seeing it before it's gone, today at Live Arts, it's your last chance to see Live Arts Teen Theater Company's nice work if you can get it. That's if it isn't sold out. Also, tomorrow, starting tomorrow and going till August 5th, Sea Lanes Out, Traveling the Paths of Poetry by Jasmine V. Bailey, a week-long intensive session designed to deepen the broaden the skills of practicing writers at the Charlottesville Writer House. Go to their website for more information. August 2nd to August 6th, the Wonder Bread Years at UVA's Ruth Kaplan Theater is part of the Heritage Theater Festival. From August 5th to August 6th, it's Live Arts Youth Theater's Seussical Junior. You will like it in a box. You will like it with a fox. August 5th to August 14th, it's West Side Story Over the Mountain at Shannon Arts. Tonight. I'm sorry, Sergeant Krupke. You got to understand. Go see what a huge bunch of white people do when they try to act like Puerto Ricans. All right, from... You know.
Yes.
August 12th, the Virginia Film Festival's Moonlight Movies comes back at you with a favorite from the 90s, Hook, at Carter Mountain Orchard. It's free and open to the public. The space opens at 7 p.m. for picnics and such. The movie starts around 8:30 when the sun is going down. Bring blankets and chairs. Who directed Hook? I think that was Spielberg, wasn't it?
I believe so, and take another drink.
There you go. And let's look at just some of the musical options open to you. August 2nd, the Charlottesville Municipal Band Summer Concert Series continues at the Charlottesville High School Martin Luther King Performing Arts Center. August 3rd, Songwriter Night at Pro Reynada Farm Brewery. Also, Bachata Fusion with DJ Bachata at the Ante Room, presented by the Seaville Salsa Club. Don't miss that. No. August 4th, Scuffletown at the Market at Grellin. Also, the Michael Ellswick Gathering at Fellini's, followed by Lester Seal. Also on August 4th, Bovine Revival Orchestra with Juala Collective at the Anti-Romania. And J.J. Von Briesen at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. August 5th, Melissa Hansen Band at Wild Wolf Brewery. Blues and Stuff at the Blue Moon Diner. The Robert Jospe Express at Glasshouse Winery. The Gladstones at Prairienata Farm Brewery. And DJ Tulo at Tavern on the James. August 6th, it's Jim Wave at the Albemarle Cider Works. The Terry Aller Trio at Jefferson Vineyards. Our man John Durth at Fellini's. Oh, yeah. And our other man Jason Burke and the Working Collective at the Southern Cafe Music Hall. Also on August 6th, the PYT. I want to love you. PYT. The PYT Sexy Ladies Red Affair with DJ Almighty and DJ Flatline at the Ante Room. And of course, every Sunday, it's Travis Elliott at Rapture. Every Monday, the Singer-Songwriter Night at the Local. Every Tuesday, the Traditional Irish Session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. And on Wednesdays, you got the Open Mic Night at Pro Reynada Farm Brewery, Bob Bonetta at Cafe Cultura, the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's, and Jim Wave at Blue Moon Diner. Every Thursday, it's the Woman Writers Revival hosted by Will Thomas Reed and Brian Craddock at Firefly. And if that's not enough for you, head on down to Miller's for the John Durth Quintet, because every once in a while, you just got to come down to Durth. And that's just some of the wonderful artistic things going on in our wonderful artistic town. If you are an artist, yeah, boy, Seaville. If you're an artist and you want us to talk about stuff that you're doing, tell us. We will tell other people. You can contact us at our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/homegrownwpvc, or you can email us at our handy-dandy email address, homegrown947@gmail.com. If you've gone out to see something, I went out and saw The Secret Storm last night. Leslie saw Once on This Island. Go to our Facebook page and tell people about it. Tell people, say, I saw this, it was like this. Because here at Homegrown, we don't care about critics, but we do believe in audience.
Hi, this is Jason Burke of the Six Pack Songwriter Series. You're listening to 94.7 FM, Homegrown.
23 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Stay tuned after this for the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with Rick Moore and his guest, Rachel Palm from the Hospice of the Piedmont.
All right,
and also, don't leave us yet, because if you do, you'll be just stuck watching that Oscar, that Oliver Stone movie that you've got sitting around. That's a 3-hour deal. Your morning is done. Stay tuned for our next guest.
How you doing? It's not pre-recorded yet.
It's not pre-recorded yet. It's live somewhere in the world.
It's live right now.
And we have with us, joining Homegrown for the first time, local singer-songwriter, Diane Cluck. Hello, Diane.
Hey, Clinton. Hey, Chris.
Thank you for coming on the show. How are you doing?
I'm sweaty.
It is. You no need to be that nervous.
It's been sort of a day-long sheen.
I know what that's like. I think the other day I hit 3 showers during the day.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's, I think we've reached, you know, you've reached that particular point in the summer where you've showered off the sweat and you're stepping out and you're wondering, are you still wet from the shower or are you still sweating?
Yeah, we did a little bit of bathing with ice cubes last night, which was pretty nice too. I mean, actually not in a bathtub, but just sort of like, you know, melting them directly onto your skin. It took about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I can't imagine that took long. So singer-songwriter is one of my favorite rubrics. It makes me excited to hear. But it's a wide range. If you could help our listeners, if you had to describe your music or your sound, what would it be?
Can you tell me what rubric means? That is a word I haven't heard in a long time. I don't know what it means. I got stuck on that.
Rubric. What does rubric mean? Rubric. Label?
Okay. Yeah. Singer-songwriter works, and I like the breadth of that term because it can encompass so much. And the thing about singer-songwriters, a friend of mine recently said sometimes he can't listen to them because you're listening so much to a personality, and there is so much you can do in that genre just by being what you are. My music is, I'd say, kind of poetically based. I like to base a lot on the words and the lyrics and be kind of loose with that. I don't always use traditional song structures, like not traditional folk song structures. I sort of let the feeling of the song determine the form of the song. So the forms are often somewhat irregular, but I also love to be pretty rangy with my melodies and my singing as well.
And you've put out, like, over the course of your career, 3 or 4 CDs or more?
I would say 8.
8?
Yeah. And I mean, a couple of them were kind of short, but it was, you know, 8 albums. Yeah.
And you perform as a solo artist, but you've also played with a lot of interesting people, or at least done individual songs with a lot of interesting artists.
Yeah. And more recently, I have played with duo or trio kind of set up sometimes with a cello player or drummer. And since I've been in Charlottesville, I've been trying to pull in more friends and musicians, that just a way of getting to know more people in the community. My friend John Ashley Murphy, harmonica player, great harmonica player. I've been playing with him more recently, and probably going to add my friend Ben on mandolin for our show at the garage next week.
Yeah, let's get the details of that in now before we forget about it.
Okay. Yeah, the show at the garage, that's August 4th, that's Thursday, and it starts at 8 o'clock. There will be 3 sets, and there's 3 singer-songwriters that night. I think Juliana Doherty is going to open the night, and she is known for her work with Nettles and the Hill and Wood, but she's also currently working on her first solo album, which is, I'm excited for her. My friend Breadfoot from North Carolina is going to be playing second. He has kind of a bluegrass Americana feel to him, and then I'll be playing last, wrapping up the night under the stars. If anyone hasn't been to the garage before, it's outside in Lee Park. You sit outside in the grassy hill. It's quite a comfy
scene. Yeah, let's talk about that venue, because it fascinates me. I'm embarrassed to admit that I've yet to see something at the garage, but it's like I said, it fascinates me. It's this interesting idea, because it's just that it's this freestanding garage on First Street North, or well, on First Street, First Street in between Jefferson and Market Street.
Yeah,
right. And people, so do you perform in the garage? You perform right on the lip of the garage?
You can do either, and people sit across the street on the grassy hill. Sometimes, depending on how you're feeling, it feels a little isolating, but then just as you feel that a car drives through, or some people are walking their children or their dog right past the street, and they sort of connect to you and the audience in these kind of silly ways, it's fun. And also, the street can serve as a dance space, which that's happened. Lobo Mourinho played there earlier in the summer, and it turned into kind of like a dance party in the street. Yeah,
that sounds kind of fun. You guys ever shut down traffic?
Yeah, but in a real friendly, and it's a pretty sleepy little street. It's a friendly kind of way.
Yeah. So, could you play something for us right now?
Yeah. The song's called Heart Loose. It's from the album Bone Set, my most recent.
Impressed you can do that in this room.
Yeah, all right. You're listening, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, and this is Homegrown, a show about local art. And we are here with singer-songwriter Diane Klug. Thank you, Diane. What was the name of, name of that song again?
Heart Loose.
Heart Loose. So I... One of the things that interests me about your music, it seems like there's this mix of the simple and the complex.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense, because the guitar orchestration, it's very restrained, but at the same time, lyrically, there's so much that's going on. There's so much that's going on rhythmically. It seems very loose and very organic. Is that something? Do you feel that's a fair observation?
Sure, and thanks for the feedback. I was thinking that I'm sitting down when I played this, which is kind of an unusual experience for me. I usually stand up when I sing, and I'm very involved with the dance community here. There's a wonderful dance community, kind of a freeform dance community in Charlottesville. Co-op dance on Sundays is a big thing for me, and I feel like music is a real whole body experience for me. So the tone and the range of the notes and really the rhythm becomes a whole body experience, sort of like a drummer using the feet and the hands and every part of you. And when you get to feeling music that way, it starts to color itself in some ways that I don't even really manage. They just kind of come out. The more I give myself rein to explore using my body and playing the instrument without thinking too much, but just trying to free things up, I usually trust what comes out from that.
Are you self-taught on the guitar? Did you teachers when you were younger?
On the guitar, yes. But I did take piano lessons for a long time as a kid, and I feel that really informed the way I approach guitar. But I am trying to learn the right way to play guitar now. That's been it's funny. I was telling a friend last night that I'll have these moments where I get sort of angry and frustrated, and I think I can't do this. I'll try to play a bar chord, and it just sounds like completely dead. But it's a good feeling. It's like a feeling I haven't had so much since I was a child, as I realized that you know, as I'm getting older, sometimes I stick with the things I already know how to do well, and that challenge of learning something new, even on an instrument I've been playing for a while, is really, really good.
Who did you listen to when you were young?
When I was a kid, or I'd say a teenager, when music was really flowering up for me, I was a big Kate Bush fan. I liked Cocteau Twins. Elizabeth Fraser's melodies are incredible. Sometimes they are still with me. I played a lot of classical piano, but I tended to like the things that were kind of simple or deceptively simple. You know, Erik Satie, mm-hmm. or like little Hungarian songs by Béla Bartók. So it was almost like the fewer the notes and the wider the key, like the more you could play with the kind of the key, that made things interesting for me. I also was taken to Catholic church every week as a kid, and I do feel that the sort of modal tendency of that music has crept into what I do. And it could be that I'm kind of I've been a bit lazy with chord structures. I'm so happy to sing over two chords all day long, but then just kind of change the melody, and that kind of changes where the feeling goes. And that's been pointed out to me that that's kind of a modal thing, and I think that's because I was a cantor in Catholic Church for a while when I was a teenager.
I see. Yeah, that's all making so much sense, because I watched a video of yours online where, I forget which song it was, but you did a video with a dancer, with a belly dancer, right?
Oh, yeah. That's Joy Raymond. She's a wonderful belly dancer here in town.
We've had Joy Raymond on the show.
Oh, you have?
Yes, we have. I was wondering if that was Joy. I was looking at her saying, is that?
And was Joy singing on the show?
She was not. She was not.
She was belly dancing
on the
show.
She was dancing on the radio.
Sounded great.
Comes over very well.
And I think for all of our listeners, it was the best belly dance they'd ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it's interesting to hear you talk about rhythm, because usually when I think about really rhythmic music, I think about music that's got some type of percussive instrument that's responsible for the rhythm. But for a lot of your arrangements, although you have worked with a drummer before, sometimes you don't have that. But yeah, it makes sense. Your music is very rhythmic, and there's a play with that.
Yeah, I love rhythm. My dad's a drummer, actually, and that also, I think, influenced my sense of rhythm. You know, we'd be sitting at a stoplight, my dad would be drumming on the steering wheel, and so then I'd sort of copy that on my legs, or he'd be sitting at the table waiting for my mom to bring dinner to the table, and he'd be drumming on the table, and so I kind of try to keep up with that, and that got into me, too.
Yeah, and we should mention, because Clinton just brought it up, you have a website, where, if people are interested in finding out more about your music. And also, you do have a bunch of videos that are online, including on YouTube. And I saw one on there with Coco Rosie.
Yeah, they're friends, friends from Brooklyn.
Really?
Yeah.
They're fascinating.
Oh, yeah, I love working with those ladies. It's always a wild ride, and we have a lot of mutual respect, I think. They're so theatrical with what they do, and but we both have a love of words and poetry, and just kind of the place that music can take you. Nice. Yeah.
So, have you ever considered doing a mixed artistic genre show, doing shows where we do a concert where you actually work with dancers, or say work with poets, and interweave like different artistic genres together into one presentation?
For sure. Actually, a few times when I've played here in town, Joy has danced, done live dance during a show that I did at the Southern last year. It's something I'd totally be open to doing, yeah.
Another song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
To the warehouse to trade in my trophies. They scratch off the names and they buff up the plates and then put the blank bodies back up in the window, awaiting engravings of winners and dates. Shoots of you grow through the yard. Metals hung heavy, my neck wouldn't let me, so I gave them up good, though the giving was hard. I went to the warehouse to trade in my trophies. Trumpets and ribbons, my trove and its trimmings, and it's so nice to see you. Feels here in this place. Pass up the goal for the view now. Something opens up, I take in space, yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Diane Gluck, I love that you end your songs after a lifetime of listening to pop songs that just sort of have that perpetual fade. I remember reading a music writer once talking about the conceit or the idea that the jam just endlessly fades into the ether. I love people who actually end a song.
And speaking of ending, let's get the details of the show one more time.
Right. Okay. Speaking of ending, Diane Gluck, could you please give our listeners the what, where, and when?
Uh-huh.
How can they find you? Tell about the show.
I'm going to be at the Garage on Thursday, August 4th with my buddies Breadfoot and Juliana Doherty. The show will start at 8 o'clock. It's free. Donations are appreciated. From 8 to 10, we'll be playing Under the Stars. Come out, sit on the hill. It's really a nice time.
Wonderful. Excellent. Diane Gluck, thank you very much.
Thank you,
thanks,
Diane.
Clint and Chris. Appreciate it.
All right, 42 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, and this is Homegrown, your show about local art. I want to thank our guest host, Chris Ballmer, for coming and helping us talk to Diane Gluck. Leslie, what we got coming up next?
I got nothing.
What?
I got nothing. No, wait. I think I have something.
Oh, you had me in suspense like M. Night Shyamalan.
We have a special guest today, a very special guest, a dear friend of ours who grew up here, who we've worked with, who's absolutely amazing, and he moved out of town, and we were all very sad. And
moved out of town?
He did. He moved out of town. He went to the big city. He went to the big apple. The big apple. To make it big.
New York City.
But, we all got family. And family was like, hey, we have this reunion thing. You might want to come down.
I don't have this family.
Oh, thing. God, whatever. Get out of my way. Devious! David Von Strong!
No, not the DVS! Not David Von Strong!
Why? That's usually what people say when they see me. Oh, this guy, not David. Please, not David. Anybody but him. No, but it's good to be here. It's really good to see Leslie and Clinton, two people that I've worked with before in the past, being in Charlottesville. As you know, Clinton directed Othello in 2009 and blessed me with the role of Iago.
And, you blessed us, baby. And you blessed us.
Stop it.
No, and I got to play your wife in that.
The lovely Charlottesville critic here didn't think so much, but
yeah,
that's another
story.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, she's something else.
Seriously.
But,
you know, I tell people...
Hashtag why I moved.
Oh!
But,
No,
but... No. I mean, I really loved all the stuff that I did here, and I've been doing theater like since I was a kid. Louisa County High School, class of '98, LC County Stand Up, and then you know, you go to college, and then you know, you start a rock band, and then you shack up with some chicks, and then you you know.
Really, you've been shacking up with some chicks?
That was back in my 20s.
Okay, all right. I'm just checking.
That was before the reformation, and then I came back.
I'm asking because you know I know your mother, and she you know I know she's listening.
Which you remind me of every single day of my life.
She's gonna come to me and
my
be like,
"My mama knows exactly what I do on a regular basis. She's my best friend, you know." But yeah, it's been great to work with you guys, to be in the city and come back. And let me just like kill all of the big time whatever. I'm no big time nothing. There's 552,000 other people doing it, doing stand up and doing improv and doing art in the city just like me, and I am no bigger or no smaller. We all eating ramen, we all squashing roaches, and we're all right beside each other, mad as hell because the train ain't come. So
that's what
we are all dying inside.
So give us the lowdown. What's it like to leave the small burg and go to that big Babylon?
You know, it's exactly what it is. You sacrifice a large bedroom for the option of getting pizza at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Make that sacrifice. I would almost make that sacrifice.
It's really, like Clinton.
I really like pizza.
Do you want solitude or instant gratification? It's one or the other. Because if you
man,
I can't
you
make
know?
That choice, man. I can't make
you
that
know?
Choice. I gotta live somewhere in the middle. I can't.
Exactly, because the pizza man don't come everywhere all the time. So. Even in the city, some places he's like, nah, bro.
Nah, man.
Pizza man don't come
around.
You
gotta get your pepperoni somewhere else, brother.
but no, it's it is much more expensive. Once again, for the experience of going outside and seeing a man in a Speedo and a cowboy hat play James Taylor. It's interesting. It's very nice.
That's a visual right there.
I'm sure it's a visual that you would probably get a selfie with.
Whatever you do, don't let him introduce you to what he calls his sweet baby James.
Oh my goodness.
He probably thinks this show is about him, you know.
He probably does.
Music fans, anybody? Charlottesville, can you hear me? But no, it's just being able to go and see and do possibly everything and anything that you want to at any given moment is nice. But I agree. You know, I come home. Charlottesville is going through some great, awesome changes. And, you know, it's becoming a new, sleek, shiny Portlandia for, higher-end folk.
For higher-end folk. So tell us about what's the comedy scene in New York like?
Large and diverse, and
diverse. You mean they're not like 50 million white guys telling jokes about cats and dogs?
Well,
cats do this. You know, dogs do this. Well, it's funny because it's true.
You know, it's
here. Let me say something racially offensive because that's
funny
what's really
because,
cool right
well,
now.
The new.
Oh my god!
Well, that's what the thing, the new normal or the new like hack thing is be like, oh wow, the straight white man's getting his, you know, comeuppance these days, and I'm like, good, because it's your turn now.
About time.
Everybody got a turn.
Right.
It's your turn.
It's yours.
After 2000, it was the Arab Americans.
Right.
You know, every Middle Eastern got a funny look. You know, during the 40s, it was the Japanese. During humanity, it was black folks.
Right.
And
right.
Now, straight white guys, you're getting your turn.
Oh, look, here's the business end of this stick. We've been holding it for a while. I believe this is yours.
What did Paul? Well, I can't say what Paul Mooney says. Yeah. Probably not on this podcast.
No,
but,
no.
You know, I keep thinking it's a podcast because I see a mic. Because you do so many podcasts in New York because everybody has a podcast. So you do so many of these. So I just call it a podcast. So I apologize if I'm being
offensive. This is live.
To the radio
this is live.
Industry when I say podcast. But no, it's a different vehicle. But no, it's what's funny is that I'm part of this group of people that are working. It's called the Cinder Block Comedy Festival. And the purpose of it is to celebrate diversity and gain more, you know, minority acts, not just straight white guys.
Right.
And there was a big uproar in the New York stand-up community from straight white guys that were like, it's not fair that we have to pay more. This is reverse, you know, racism, whatever. And I'm like, yo, you know, just pay the extra $5.
Right.
I know you got it. You know, skip the Pabst Blue Ribbon for one night. I think you can take it. You know, you'll be fine. Just fork up the extra dough. And it just caused a major uproar. So, you know, nobody's happy. Everybody's offended. This is the age of offense. Like there was the age of Aquarius now. Like 2016 is the age of serious offense. Everybody's seriously offended and has to say something about it because we all have a way of saying something about it to
right.
the world. So,
well, straight up, I've said this before. I will say this now live on the radio. This is my prediction. Whatever happens with this election, I think that for the next 4 years minimum, whoever gets in, we are going to see in this country an increased amount of explicit, open racial tension. I think a lot of things that have been bubbling under the ground, a lot of things that have been swept under the rug are going to come out and are out and are going to continue to be out. It's not going to be comfortable, people.
This is what you call one of those referendum elections where it kind of defines like the climate of where our country wants to go. And what's funny,
or where a part of the country wants to stay.
Well, I mean,
Right. Well, I mean,
you could argue that a lot of people say, you know, we're just red states with blue cities. And
well, that's
we're,
I mean,
we're
especially
right
in Virginia,
down the middle, right?
Especially
now.
In Virginia, because
especially
we, you know, Virginia goes blue literally only because of Northern Virginia.
Yeah,
like
Fairfax and Arlington and, you know, see, I think we'll count Seville in there, you know, just on the cusp.
We're on the cusp. Yeah.
But yeah, It's interesting how this is going to turn out. It's kind of no question who I'm voting for.
Right.
It's kind of question. All right, let me put it this way. It's kind of no question who I'm not voting for. But I will say this. Yeah, this is going to say a lot about where we want to go and who we want to be. And big changes are going to be made. Either way.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people aren't happy and some people are going to go. But I mean, I'm just tripping on like what's been happening. Like this is
it's got to be great material for jokes. If nothing else.
You have to stay lighthearted because
be honest, you want him. You want him in the White House. You have a career for the next 4 years.
I don't. No.
Minimum.
Well, I don't want to steal.
Minimum.
I don't want to steal Patton Oswalt's bit, but he basically says how somebody came and like said like admitted you want George Bush in that White House so you can make fun of him because you've been doing it for. And you know Patton Oswalt said I would trade like all of you know the offenses and the war crimes and everything for my 15 minutes of material on this one individual.
Exactly.
I would trade it all. So that's how I feel too. It's like you get great material out of whoever comes out of this race. I do stuff on Obama all the time. I'm, you know, black people are not a monolith. We have to you know, hold our leaders accountable as well as ourselves.
Yes.
For the decisions that go on in our country. And, you know, I think Obama's in a place where he can never win. But, I mean, you have to turn, you know, lemons into lemonade. Like, you know, this hot air balloon accident. Like, it's tragic. Like, you know, but 16 people in a hot air balloon. How you get 16 people in a hot air balloon? Who's number 16 trying to squeeze it? Don't you see that? Because you go to the elevator, right? You see the elevator. Don't you use that elevator logic like a little too many people?
Right.
I'll just wait for the next time.
What's the weight limit?
You know?
Hold on. Let me factor the weight of
everybody
in 10, here.
You know, after 10, I would have been like, you know what, guys? You just go on ahead.
I'm going to get the next round.
You come back around. That's crazy. But, I mean, the hot air balloon game is messed up now. Like, I imagine people just canceling reservations. It's like, hey, we reserved a hot air balloon ride for next Tuesday. Yeah, we're going to have to pass on that. Something just came up. My fear of dying just came up. And we're going to have to say no. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. This is refundable? Okay, it doesn't matter. All right. Thank you. All right. Have a good day. Bye. You know?
Sad thing is, it's still the most comfortable form of air travel available to us.
Wow.
Not so much. I mean, you know, the floodings. I mean, Baltimore's got floodings and stuff. I mean, like, I saw a dude. There was one dude holding on to his car while it was driving down the road. While I was floating away down the road, just holding on to his car. I go, one more payment. I'm like, dude, just let it go, man. I was singing to Idina Menzel, just like, let it go. You don't need that car.
Oh my god.
No, but can I do a few plugs? I know you guys are trying to wrap
yes,
up.
Yes, you can do a few plugs.
All right. So I'm gonna plug away. As you know, I'm David Von Strawn, also known as Devious One.
Plug it like as if you were Mario Von Peoples.
No.
Oh my.
Take
god.
That drink.
Take a drink.
Boom. I see a theme. I'm the producer of entertainment called Rooftop Gangsters. We do a comedy show in Brooklyn every month. The next one is August 19th. That is a Friday night. It is at 603 Vanderbilt Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. You can either take the 2 or the Q. So if you are in Charlottesville and you find yourself in New York City, come on to Park Slope, where hipsters are welcome and made. And grab yourself a $7 beer. And
this beer was so much better when it was $6.50.
And enjoy yourself. A lot of great comedians: Brendan Kelly, Brian Parise from DC. You know, names of the like. They're going to be in the house, so come on down to that. We also have a music guest there every time. Also, I do 2 podcasts. I do the DVS show on Podomatic. That's DVSSHOW.podomatic.com. And also, I'm starting a new podcast called You Stole My Joke. It basically deals with comedians that have dealt with plagiarization in the New York community, because it's going on a lot. Like, everybody knows about the Fat Jew and how he got busted.
Yeah.
You know, there's been like hits on Amy Schumer, but it happens a lot more than people think. And a lot of like writers will go into like open mic clubs and like scoop like material use it in their writing for like sketch shows and stuff. They did it back in the day. So, you know, I'm trying to, because I know I've had it happen to me. I know I've had it happen to friends in the community. So I'm trying to start something. You know, if you feel that your joke has been stolen, I give the forum to either confront that person or just let them know, like, put it in the ether, like, hey, you want blast, like, we gonna find you out. Because really, I mean, it's like stealing somebody's song. It's like stealing somebody's war story. It's about stealing a piece of somebody's life.
Right.
And it's really important to me. So I hope it's important to everybody else.
It's stealing somebody's art. That's what it is. That's what you're working on that. You're making that. You're creating that. You're crafting that. That is your thing. It's your art.
Absolutely. And I take that great seriousness. So thank you, Clinton. I love you like a brother, Leslie. You know, you're my queen bee. So thank you so much for having me on. And I hope to be on again. And I'm, you know, Charlottesville's home, so I'll always be back.
David Von Strong visiting us here from the big city, a surprise guest. God dang it. Thank you very much. This has been another episode of Homegrown, coming at you hard, like Terrence Malick war scene. We want to thank our guests, Miriam Gordon-Stewart and Janina Burnett from Victory Hall Opera. Go see Der Rosenkavalier August 14th, 17th, and 20th. Thank you so much, Diane Cluck. See her concert at August 4th at the Garage. Thank you, Chris Bomer, our guest host. Thank you, Leslie. Thank you, David Von Strong. Thank you all. Come back next week.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.